Well, it's good to be in the house of God. I won't say I know what he's talking about. I remember being under that load of conviction, not having no peace, feeling like everybody could see through me like a window. It was a miserable time for me. I thank God for coming by my way and helping me out, though, showing me my need of him. I'd heard about it my whole life. I'd been in church 9 months before I was born. And I'd heard about it, but I heard the preacher preaching, but that morning God started preaching, and he preached to my heart. He revealed himself to me, and I tell you, I've not been the same since. Amen. Thank God for being good.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, he's awful good. The book of Luke, chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 26. The Bible reads, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time. And wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to call on you, Lord, tonight. Lord, and just ask you, Lord, for mercy. Lord, and ask you, Lord, for grace tonight as I try to preach the Word of God. Lord, I can't do this within myself, Lord, but I sure would appreciate it if you'd show up for a little while and help me out, Lord. I need something. Lord, I got an outline, but Lord, it's not going to work unless you step in for a little while. God, I sure would appreciate it, Lord, if you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, just let me preach for a little while. Let me lose sight of myself and let these people here in the place to get a good glimpse of you. God, I pray, Lord, help me tonight as I try to preach. Help us, Lord, let everything that be done tonight be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In the scripture here in Luke chapter 8, we read about this maniac of Gadara. The Bible says, in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. I just want to preach for a little while, God being my helper. And when you see Jesus.
Amen.
I'm convinced that the world's problem that today is that we just don't see him. I think we don't see him in the church anymore. The church is pretty much dead. And I have to say I have a pretty good part in that. And if you belong to a Baptist church, you probably do too. Because we just decided we just ain't going to do much anymore. But the problem is the reason sinners aren't getting born again, the reason we can't have revival in our churches, is just because we are not seeing the Lord. But as I read down through this passage of Scripture, it interests me in verse 27. It said, when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And I thought to myself, that's where a sinner is. He's a walking around, and he's got a physical life, but he's just in the graveyard. And he dwells there. And I want to say that I've seen some saints, you know, that have stepped away from God and went a different way, and they've just become cold and indifferent. But they're not walking around in the graveyard as a sinner is tonight. I think that the way from the Bible, what I've had reading, that the sinner here tonight, this man had went and asked the Lord to help him out, and he met him. He had met him there when he got off the ship. and he said that he had wear no clothes, and that's a part of the shows the sin in his life and the wickedness of his heart, because it's unnatural to go around like that. People like this, he had no conscience in his being, and it didn't bother him to run around like that. And I want to say that's the way it is tonight. I'm not preaching on the dress code tonight. I'm preaching on a heart problem. We have a heart problem. We get the heart problem straightened out, then everything else will come together the way it's supposed to. That's the way it is. I've seen a lot of preachers, and don't get me wrong, I think it needs to be preached on. Sin needs to be preached on. But if the heart ever gets right, then the sin will quit. I mean, where you can't live close to God, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or hold the one, or love the one and despise the other. That's the way it is. You can't go two ways. And I've been guilty of trying to straddle the fence myself. And I feel like, you know, you can't get any victory in your life. You think, well, I'll just be okay. This is just a little bit thing. I can hang out with these people. I can talk to these people and befriend them. But it doesn't work like that. Caleb, go get me some water if you will. Thank you. But he was running around in the tombs. He dwelt there. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" And I thought, the devils in him, they knew who Jesus was. And he knew who he was. He respected him. You'll recognize his authority if you ever see him, because he's high and lifted up. If you ever see him just right, you'll fall on your face. That's what he did here. Because you recognize the authority of God and how powerful he is. But I want to say you have to see how powerful he is before you can see how merciful he is.
Right. You've
got to have to recognize the power of God. That word beseech, he said, "I beseech thee, torment me not." The word beseech means to ask for earnestly or to beg. And I think that's more or less the problem with the sinners and the saints. But the reason the sinners aren't getting to Christ is because they're not beseeching God for salvation. They're not begging Him. They haven't got to that point yet in their life. And I think the light's out there. God has given this world men to preach the gospel. I've run into a few of them in my day. I thank God for them. The light is out there, and they've heard the preaching of the Word of God. But here, even in this church, we've got children and adults alike. They hear, they've heard the Word of God preached. And they come in Sunday after Sunday and never miss a service, and yet they sit there unmoved. And because God has not shined the light in their heart, but some of them have refused to receive the light and act upon it. I've seen people in the church house nowadays, as my dad stands and preaches, and they'll sit there cold and indifferent and buck up against it. And they'll say in their heart, not with an audible voice, but you can tell in their heart, they just say, "No, Lord, I don't want any of that. I just won't have any of that." And I've seen them walk out the door, and they never, never get right. But when God speaks, when you start beseeching the Lord, when it gets real to your heart, and you start beseeching Him and asking for help, recognizing your need, that's where it's at. You have to recognize your need for help. Never, man will never ask for it until he recognizes his need. In the book of Mark, chapter number 10, Book of Mark chapter 10 verse 46 reads like this: "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'
Yes.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called.
Hallelujah.
And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight.
Yes.
Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. In Luke chapter 8, when I read, if you ever see Jesus, you'll start beseeching him. You'll start asking. Because when you see Jesus, you'll see your problem. But here in Mark chapter 11, if you see Jesus, you'll follow him. If you ever see him. Here it is, blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. He had what most people would term as a terrible life. The man had no sight. He's unable to work, unable to do the things that an average person would do. But he sat there and begged. But he heard that Jesus was in town. And he decided that this man could help him out. No doubt he had heard the stories. He had heard the stories about Jesus of Nazareth. If he wouldn't have, he wouldn't ask for help. But he was sitting there one day and he heard a commotion. And he said, Who is that? What's going on? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is in town. And he started crying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody tried to quiet him down. They said, Hey, don't make so much noise. Besides, you're just getting all out of sorts. And we don't do that anymore. There ain't no need in getting excited or actually going after God 100%. You know, we can just sit back. We all know He's here, and we're glad He's here, but we don't need to make no racket. That's what they're saying. But he didn't listen to them. Said he cried out, Yet the more, a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I want to thank God He'll command you to be called. You start seeking Him. God's never turned anyone away that's seeking diligently after Him. Amen? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they said, Hey, Jesus wants to talk to you. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou do? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he just got right to the point. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight.
Amen.
And I will say, if you want to see, if you really want help from God, and you want to receive your sight, if you want to get born again, you'll have to get right to the point.
Sure.
And you can't go around the block and, Dear Jesus, if I'm a sinner, that never did work.
Right.
He had already accepted the fact that he was blind. He accepted the fact that he just couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
No, he sat out there begging every day. And most of us never got to that place. But if we could ever accept what we are, we can get some help.
Right.
So he just said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Hallelujah.
Again, he requested. God granted the request. The Bible says if you ask according to the will of God, that He'll grant your request. He's going to answer your prayer. If you ask according to God's will, then He'll answer your prayer. And then it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And he followed him. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, I thought about this scripture Brother Pace was preaching on Tuesday night. It got good to my heart. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Yeah.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do it for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation,
Amen.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. This man here, he was coming to the temple. He said, by the Spirit, God had led him there. He said he was full of the Holy Ghost. But when he saw Christ, he embraced him.
Yeah. That's good. Amen.
You'll beseech him. If you see him, you'll follow him, and then you'll embrace him.
Amen.
This man, no doubt, he had been waiting on this a long time. Said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And I could see him as he was sitting there, no doubt full of faith, coming in and day out, just wondering when God was going to show up.
Oh, yeah. Good.
One day, Jesus came in, and he had been waiting on it a long time, and I'd say he's pretty excited about it. The Bible said he was. So he took him up in his arms, and he embraced him. Amen. I remember that night here at a Bible meeting when I beseeched him. I said I'd follow him and I embraced him.
Yeah.
I want to say God is awful good. I find myself God embracing me more than I'm embracing him. He's always been good.
Amen.
But in a relationship, then it ought to be both parties are working toward the same goal. Found that out. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the way it is in most Christian relationships is God's doing the work and we're sitting around thanking Him for what He does and choosing to just do whatever we want to do. And I'm a preaching to myself tonight. That's right. Because I find myself in the bad need of this sometimes. And I find myself wanting to sit down. And I get tired of going on. I do. I've been to the place where I'll sit and weep and cry and beg God for some help. I remember just sitting in my room one day and thinking about some things that I wanted to see come to pass. Didn't understand what God was doing. I said, Lord, why? Why is this going like this? And I thought of something, the situation was going in one direction and it had made a 180 and went the other way. And I remember weeping in my room and crying. And I said, Lord, I need some help. I found God that day. He came down in that room there and He sat down in that chair with me and helped me out. And He embraced me. But I want to say we ought to embrace Him. Also in verse 29, this man said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I want to say, if you ever embrace Him, and you ever beseech Him and follow Him, get into the family, you'll want to go home. He decided there wasn't no reason for him to be here no more. God told him that he'd see Him, see Jesus before he died. And he said, that's enough, I'm ready to go. I don't belong here anymore. And he started looking another way, looking on the other side.
Yeah.
I want to say, if you're really saved tonight and you embrace Him, you'll be wanting to go home. It won't bother you. Get kind of wound up every once in a while and set your sights on heaven, sure. I want to say, that's where we ought to be. A lot of times our sights are set on the world. My sights set on my job. I find myself being consumed with work and consumed with the things of this life. But my eyes need to be on heaven. They need to be on Christ. And I understand that I'm not just a pilgrim and stranger here. And I ain't going to be here for very long. And it seems like, I'm a young man. And it seems like it's been a while. And it hadn't been very long in my life. And I think I've got a lot to live for. I plan my life out on what I'm going to do when I get older. But I don't even know that I'm going to be here. But I want to lay up treasures in heaven. Something that won't, that's not going to burn up one day. Because no matter what I achieve down here, if I make $1 million, if I'm more popular, or if I reach the top of the ladder, it won't make a difference when I die. And when I end up on the other side, I sure would like to have something to lay down at the Lord's feet and thank Him for what He's done for me. We ought to have a sight set on heaven's shore. Amen. Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. in verse 11. The Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These wise men here, in this passage of Scripture, that's where the Bible refers to them, they worship the Lord. I'm going to say, if you ever see Him, you'll worship Him.
Amen.
God's perfect. There's nothing bad about Him. Can't do any wrong. It's altogether lovely.
Sure is.
Being with Him and seeing Him, you have to worship Him. If you ever see Him like you ought to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about see Him. I remember one night I was up here at the church and just came up here to pray. God came down that night. And I got a little glimpse of Him.
Yeah.
If you ever see Him just right, you see yourself as you are. You'll worship Him because of His glory.
Amen.
You'll see Him in all of His glory and His perfection. You won't have no trouble worshiping Him.
That's right.
These wise men here, I thought as I read through the chapter, in verse 2, they were from the east, from a far country. They weren't from very close by. And they didn't know what was going on there. They wanted to know who the king was. They come in there and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? I would say if they knew much about the area, they probably wouldn't have asked that, because they would have known who the king was, or so called. But I want to say that they were in a good position to get help. They was getting in a good position to find what they was looking for. They was requiring after the king. I remember the night I met the king. I'm talking about met him. And he did wonders for me. But also in verse 2, he said that they've seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. They had the light. God had given them the light.
Sure he did.
And they just responded to it. They just followed the light.
Right.
Man, if you're a sinner tonight, and God's helping you and God gives you some light, you better follow it.
Sure.
Don't turn around and go the other way or try to throw something over top of the lamp. Man, if He gives you light, just go ahead and respond to it.
Sure.
Go ahead and follow it, because that light, Jesus is the light, amen?
Yes.
That light's Him. You get real close to Him, you'll find Him if you keep following that light, amen? God set it up that way. I remember the time in my life, God shined the light of God in my heart, showed me what I was. You know, I was in darkness. The Bible says that about a sinner is in darkness. And I remember the night I always thought I was pretty good. I understood the fact that I was lost. I didn't ever make a profession. But it just never had gotten real to me. You know, I'd been to church and I thought it was good. You know, we'd come up here and we'd sing and have a good time and I'd get to see all my friends. But I just didn't understand what it was about. But I remember one Tuesday night, I was sitting over there on the front row and God just shined the light in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I got to seeing that I wasn't all that good.
Yeah.
Got to seeing myself for who I was. Got to seeing all the dirt in my life. And I always thought, you know, I ain't doing nothing wrong, because my mom and dad, they always had some strict rules, and I thought, there ain't no way in the world I can get into anything. So I'm all right, you know, I'm pretty good. But God started showing me the wickedness of my heart.
Yeah.
And in the imaginations and the thoughts that were in my mind that were wrong. And let me see Him for who He was.
That's good.
I remember when I came to Him, and I don't remember anything I said, but I just said, Lord, save me. I must have said it 500 times. And I just had it. I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah.
And I was under such a load, I was shaking. I couldn't imagine. I can't imagine going through that again. And I remember coming down and just begging God, oh, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I can't help myself. Lord, save me. God shined the light in, and He would say, give me a little more light, and say, this right here is wrong. You don't have to give that up. And I've seen people come to the altar over and over and over again, and they go back with no peace. It's because God shines the light in, and they say, Lord, I don't want to get rid of that. Or, Lord, I don't want to start doing that. And they just won't surrender.
Yeah.
But if you want to get help from God, If you really want to see him, you're going to have to surrender.
Yeah. All right.
You're going to have to surrender to him. Just throw up the white flag. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Do whatever you want to do with me. If you ever surrender, you see, if you follow the light and inquire about the King, amen, and God will help you and you can worship Him, amen. You can't worship Him if you're lost. You just can't do it. But when you get saved, there's something down on the inside to help you out. Don't take too much to get you fired up. Somebody say something about the cross, amen. Start thinking about God and shedding His precious blood. Jesus shedding His precious blood. I wrote a paper on it the other day for school, and just got real to me a little while. And most of the time, you know, we as Christians, we don't think about it too much. You know, we've heard the story so many times, it don't move us anymore. But if you really think about Christ being the propitiation for our sin, I mean, taking on the sin of the world. I couldn't imagine, I can't even hardly bear my own sin sometimes. The load that I get under because of God shining the light on me, but I couldn't imagine what it would be like to have the guilt of the world placed on your shoulders. And that would be an awesome thing. I couldn't imagine it. But God shed His precious blood and helped you so we could receive life, have eternal life. Amen. If you can see, if you want to see Him, you got to beseech Him. You're going to have to embrace Him. Amen. You're going to have to follow Him.
Sure.
You're going to have to worship Him. I want to say, Lord, if you ever beseech Him, if you get to beseeching Him right, asking Him right, He'll grant your wish. He'll grant your petition. Amen. And then you can follow Him. You can't follow Him until you get the first part out of the way. And after you get to following Him, you'll start embracing Him. After you get to embracing Him, you'll start worshiping Him. Amen.
Yes,
I want to read this verse of Scripture. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Yes, sir.
For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, amen, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so make Him peace.
Amen.
That's the reason to worship Him tonight, amen? I remember, I like this passage of Scripture, just real to my heart. But when I find myself, poor Malvin, saying how bad my life is, I just go back to the cross and go back to what God did for me and I worship Him. Amen.
Amen.
It's important, church.
Yes, it is.
Young people, if you don't have Christ, when He gives you the light, respond to it.
Amen.
I mean, He will save you. He'll give you a new life, put you on a new way. I remember not having that. I remember as a saved individual just trying to go my own way. God still shined a light in there on you. Man, if you're saved, God won't let you stagger around in darkness. He'll shine a light on you and say you need to straighten up. I remember it is still a load, amen. It's a load to carry. God merciful enough to make you miserable, amen. Thank God for being good. Amen. You don't realize it at the time. Look back on it now and you think, thank you, Lord, for being so merciful to me. Amen. I thought to my, when I was thinking one day, how God loved me, how much God must love me. Oh, Lord. And how much He must care about me to do what He's done for me. I remember my friends as I came up and it wouldn't take too much of one of them make me mad. Now I had to break off that friendship. I won't want nothing to do with them. But God didn't like that.
Right. Hallelujah.
Done Him wrong so many times and He just come back and wraps his arms around me again. Shines the light in again. Amen. Glory to God. Helps me out. Shows me where I'm wrong. Not only shows me where I'm wrong, but just restores the fellowship just like it was never broken. I'm pretty bad. If somebody does something to me, you know, I'll forgive them, but there won't be much fellowship there for a while. I'll say, well, yeah, you know, they did that a while back. But God, He doesn't forget your sin. He just chooses not to remember it. Amen. When He forgives it, He just says, I ain't going to remember that anymore. And He buries the hatchet. Amen. He don't pull it up every time. Amen. There's forgiveness in God. If you really want it, there's forgiveness. God will help you. If you really want it, just you. If you really want to come to Him. Amen. You got to beg God for forgiveness. Realize your condition. Amen. Come to Him as you are. Realize who you are. How holy God is. Amen. He'll help you. God's a merciful God. Oh, He's merciful. He's wonderful. I can't say tonight that I'm happy in my heart that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
I am. The more I think about it, the better it gets to my soul. I think to myself, how could God love me? But He always helps, and I'm glad for the day that I seen Him for who He really was.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, seen Him. I've seen His compassion and forgiveness and His love.
Amen.
And I've still continually seeing it. When you ever get a glimpse of Him, it'll change your life. There'll be a life-altering time in your life. You won't go out the same way you came. Bartimaeus didn't.
Right.
He wasn't begging anymore. He wasn't sitting on the dusty street. Amen.
God.
Amen. God changed him. Everybody can see it. Amen.
Right.
They say, hey, wasn't that man that was blind?
Yeah.
Amen. God helped him out. Everybody can tell the difference. Amen. When you see Jesus, He'll change your life.
Sure will.
Sure.